Dear God, we thank you for your love. It's undying, it's eternal. You have loved us with an everlasting love. With loving kindness, you have drawn us to your Son and to yourselves. As we bow in your presence, dear Father, if we have sinned against you, we ask in the name of Jesus, forgive us, dear God. Grant us power to avoid the things we do. Be merciful to me, dear God. Grant to me wisdom from above. Let the Spirit of truth direct my mind, and let that same Spirit enlighten the understanding of those who listen. Surround this place with angels that excel in strength, that they may protect us, that we may worship in peace. Dear God, let us sense your presence among us as the living word is presented. I pray from my heart in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Let us go to Genesis chapter 2. What's our theme for this week? Freedom from fear. Genesis 2, we should read from verse 7. I read from the King James Version of the Bible. Genesis 2, reading from verse 7. When you found it, say amen. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We pause at 9. We review. Verse 7, God makes Adam. Verse 8, he makes a garden, and he puts Adam in the garden, so we must see God and Adam walking to the garden together. Verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, twice we have the expression, put the man. Verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man. Verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. What I want you to observe is the interaction between Adam and God. God makes him, he opens his eyes, he sees his Creator. The Creator takes him to the garden. The Creator takes him and points out all the items of his work, what he's responsible for. Let's go to verse 19 of Genesis 2. Our subject this evening is the same as our theme, freedom from fear. Verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now we have God brings something to Adam. Previously, God took Adam somewhere. Now, God brings all the animals to Adam. So we have God, we have Adam, we have every living thing. And God stands by and watches as Adam names every living thing. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And so we see physical fellowship between Adam and God. Or let's name God first, between God and Adam. Let's go to verse 21 of chapter 2. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now we have God, we have Adam, we have Eve in fellowship. If that's clear, say amen. Made he a woman and brought her unto the man. In verse 19, he brought the animals unto the man, and Adam named the animals. Now, God brings Eve in verse 22 of chapter 2 to Adam. In verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. So we have God, we have Adam, we have Eve. They are having fellowship one with the other. And you are wondering in your mind, what is the point of what I am saying? Let's go to 25 and get a clue as to the point I'm trying to make. Verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife. Finish the verse. And we're not afraid. What's our theme for the week? Come on, you're a little slow. What's the theme? Freedom from fear. Now, based on verse 25, did Adam and Eve have freedom from fear? Yes or no? Yes. Read the verse. And they were both naked. Come on. The man and his wife, and were not. No fear, no shame. Let's go to chapter 3. Tonight, we will uncover the foundation, the cause, the base, and the basis for fear. Chapter 3, we read from verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Verse 8. Read it microscopically. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife did what? Hid themselves, come on, from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, let us compare and contrast. Let us compare and contrast. When God made Adam, did Adam run from God, yes or no? No. Why? There was no sin. When God took Adam to the garden and said, this is your work, the Bible says he took him and he put him there, did Adam run from God? Why? There was no sin. I'm not hearing anything from this side. I'm getting the answers from that side. Verse 23 or 22. When God brought Eve to Adam, did Adam run from God? Why? There was no sin. In verse 19, when God brought all the animals to Adam, that Adam might name them, and he did, and God accepted every name, did Adam run from God? Why not? There was no sin. Verse 25 of chapter 2. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Why was there no shame, no embarrassment, no humiliation, no fear? Why? There was no sin. No guilt. No fear. No embarrassment. No shame. No humiliation. Verse 8 tells us, and they heard. They heard the voice of the Lord God. Now this is deliberate behavior. They heard, and having heard God's voice or his presence, they hid themselves. Now we have a different behavior from Adam and Eve. And this behavior is based on, you tell me, sin. Now before there was sin, they enjoyed the company of God. Now that sin has entered the world by their choice, they're hiding from God, they're afraid. Listen to verse 9 of Genesis 3, our subject, freedom from fear. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. This is not accidental. I heard it. There are many people, they hear the voice of God and they go in the opposite direction. There are many young people, they hear the voice of their parents telling them, avoid this and avoid that, and they go in the opposite direction. There are people who hear the voice of God, they are convicted to give the life to God, and they go in the opposite direction. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. What's that? Fear. Because I was naked. Why was he naked? Because of sin. And I hid myself. From that time until now, the natural behavior of a sinner is to avoid God. Not church. God. Let me say it again, differently. It takes an action from God to place in the sinner an impulse to come to God. The sinner does not come to God naturally. Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father which have sent me draw him. It requires an act on the part of God for any sinner and every sinner to come to God. Sin does not naturally enjoy the presence of God. And any man, any woman who avoids the presence of God is avoiding life, avoiding peace, avoiding joy. So Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, let's look again at what happened. Genesis 2, 16, 17. Our subject, freedom from fear, 5 minutes to seven. Do we have chapter 2, verse 16, 17? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God gave Adam, look at the word in verse 16 again. There is a key word. What is your guess as to what that key word is? Pick one word in verse 16 as the key word. Commanded. Now the word commanded occurs three times in the book of Genesis between chapter 2 and 3. Three times. That is significant. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Adam violated God's command. Look at chapter 3, verse 11. When Adam said, I heard thy voice, in verse 10, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. In verse 11, God says, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? We have the word commanded again. God says to Adam, did you break my commandment? Did you violate my commandment? Let's look at the word used again. Stay in chapter 3. Let's read verse 17, our subject. Freedom from fear. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. We have the word command. Three times. When Adam violated God's command, fear entered his life, something he had never known while he lived in obedience to God. Now, even though you and I have the carnal nature, through the grace of Christ, that process can be reversed. As sin brought fear into the life, through Christ, fear can be removed out of the life. Let me say it again. You're looking at me as though you're sleeping with your eyes open. Let me repeat. What brought fear into the life? Why did Christ die? For our sin. Which means through Christ, what can happen? Fear, come on, can be removed from the life. What did Adam do? Give me one word. Now give me the longer version of sin. I heard it. Disobedience. The longer version of sin is disobedience. Sin brought fear. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us do what? Reason together. Sin brought fear. Disobedience brought fear. How do we get out of that fear? Obedience to God. A life lived in harmony with God's word. This working in the heart is the antidote for fear. Many of us in and out of the church, we are crippled by fear and guilt. And the answer is the cross of Christ. My brothers and sisters, I am not saying that obedience to God will make you a millionaire. I am not saying obedience to God will provide all the tuition you need. That's not the most critical thing in your life. Christ didn't die because you didn't have a PhD. Christ didn't die because a woman couldn't find a husband. Christ didn't die because people were poor, because he was poor. The problem is not poverty. The problem is not a single life. The problem is not the absence of an academic degree. The problem is sin. If that's clear, say amen. The problem is sin. And when sin is removed, fear has to go, because they travel together. There are many people who are afraid of God because of sin. A God of whom the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And we read in 1 John 4, verse 18, perfect love does what? Casteth out, come on, all fear. Now, perfect love casteth out. When the Bible says casteth out, where's the fear? In us. So it has to be cast out. Follow the reasoning now. But how is it cast out according to that verse? Come on, perfect love. Give me the longer version of the word love. God bless you. You're so bright tonight. I'll see if you're bright tomorrow night. The long version of love is obedience. The long version of sin is disobedience. So the Bible says, perfect love, come on, tell me, casteth out, come on. Mm-hmm. Now, the word cast out, let's get some visual idea of what it means. If I take this and I cast it out, I don't do that. Are you following me? I do that. And it ends up in Quezon City. Am I right? I have cast it out. Jesus said, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. So it's not just, there it is, because it's still within reach. Are you following me? When you cast something out, it's almost impossible to go get it. And so the Bible says, perfect love. Cast it out. Come on, what? All. So we connect 1 John with Genesis. Here a little, there a little. Sin brought fear. What's the long version of sin? Disobedience, that brought fear. Love casts out. But what is the long version of love? Obedience. Let's look at that. Let's go to the second commandment, Exodus 20. We'll read from verse 4. Our subject, freedom from fear. It is 3 minutes after 7. I will release you by 7:30. Please don't worry. And make plans to come back tomorrow night. Bring someone with you. Don't think about a whole week. Just say, Father, make it possible for me to come back tomorrow night. Forget the whole week. Just tomorrow night. What book did I say? Genesis. What did I say? Exodus, yeah, chapter 20. What verse? 4. When you found it, say amen. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that do what? Hate me. Keep this in mind. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my command. Now, let's do some balancing of the equation. Let's do some biblical algebra. Follow me closely. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the fathers of them that hate me. We have hate me on this side. That's all we have. On this side we have showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. So we have hate me and we have love me. So it's balanced so far. But what else do we have on this side? That love me and keep my... So we have love me and keep my commandments. How do we fill out this side? Those that hate me and disobey my commands. Love, obey. Recite John 14:15 for me. If you love me, so we have love and obey. Now, faith without works is what? Dead. Love without obedience is dead. And God is not the God of death. He's the God of life. Obedience and love are virtually the same thing. Obedience is love in action. Works is faith in action. And so the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect obedience to God casts out all fear. And you say, perfect obedience, but I'm a sinner. Let me explain. If all you know to do is one thing, that's all God has shown you, and you do it, what kind of obedience is that? Come on. Perfect. You didn't hear me? Let me say it again. If all God has shown you is one thing, and you do that one thing, that is perfect obedience. Now, if God shows you one other thing, and you still do one thing, we no longer have perfect obedience. And so when the Bible says perfect obedience, it doesn't mean live like Enoch. Unless you know all that Enoch knew. It simply means be faithful to what you know. Obey God to the extent that you know His will. That is perfect obedience. That casts out all fear. What brought fear into the life? Sin. Give me the long version of sin. Disobedience. You cannot sin without disobeying God. And you cannot love God without obeying Him. Freedom from fear. The formula is simple. Sin brought it. When sin goes, fear goes with it. And trust and faith and dependence take its place. When Christ was on the boat, Matthew 14 and other places, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And that's also in Mark chapter 4, 37 to 41. Christ was asleep. What were the disciples doing? Panicking, afraid, trembling, knees knocking, trying to make out their wills, thinking they'll die. They were in a state of panic. Christ, the Bible says, was on a pillow, sleeping. He was free from fear. Why? Because he lived in perfect conformity with his Father's word. When you see a policeman, do you tremble? No. Why? You're not a criminal. When the criminal sees a policeman, it shows on his face that something is wrong. And police and other law enforcement authorities are trained to read the face. You know, when Nehemiah came to Artaxerxes, the Bible says, and I was the king's cupbearer, Nehemiah 2 verse 1. And the king said unto me, why art thou sick? Why art thou troubled, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing more but sorrow of heart. Artaxerxes looked at his face and concluded something was wrong on the inside. Are you following me? Parents, how many times you look at your child and you know the child is lying? And you know, you just look at the face. So what I'm saying is, when there is no disobedience, no sin, there is a perfect reflection on the face of calm and peace. There is no fear that shows, because there is no sin. And so Jesus was in that boat, sleeping quietly on a pillow, knowing that he was right with his Father, while the disciples were in panic. When they disturbed his sleep, he said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith?" My brothers and sisters, my young brother, young sister, there is no need for you and me to live a fearful life. We are afraid of tomorrow. We are afraid we will not have food. We are afraid we won't have rent. We are afraid of this. We are afraid of that. We are afraid of what the president may do to us. We have all kinds of terror and fear in our lives. The Bible says the answer to that is to be sure that the life is right with God, that we live in obedience to God's word. When we live that way, the way of love, fear is cast out. All this week, I'll present to you the answer to fear. The word of God, obeyed. You know, Ellen White writes in Christ's Object Lessons, page 100, paragraph 1, "If studied and obeyed, the word of God works in the heart, subduing every unholy attribute." If studied and obeyed, the word of God works in the heart, subduing every unholy attribute, every urge to sin is controlled by the word of God. And when that sin is not committed, there is no fear in that life. You and I need not live in fear. In the new world, there will be no fear. There will be no dread, no humiliation, no disgrace, no embarrassment, because there will be no sin. Listen to me carefully. The cause and the source of the root of every negative emotion is sin. Not the president of the conference, or the president of your college, or your father, or your ex-husband. The source is sin. And when we get sin out of the life, then we begin to see our lives differently. The Bible says, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Him." Psalm 56:3. The only way to trust in God is to take Him at His word. Let me say that again. The only way to trust in God is to take Him at His word. I sometimes counsel young ladies who try to argue with me why they should date someone outside of the church. Well, there are no men in the church. Never find an excuse or justification for sin. And I ask them, "Is God your Father?" Yes. "Does He love you?" Yes. "Does the Bible say no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly?" Yes. "Is a spouse a good thing?" Yes. "Can God provide you with one?" Yes. Now, what was your problem? No faith, no trust. "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in God. No good thing will He withhold." To distrust God is sin. I'm about to sit down, but let me put this to you for your consideration. Just listen to the word of God. And God said, no, let's go from verse 1 of chapter 1 of Genesis. "In the beginning, God created" what? "The heaven and the earth." Now, what are we to understand by the heaven and the earth? Listen to Jesus in Matthew 28:18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." What does that mean? Let me ask you this. Is there anywhere in the universe where Jesus does not have power? No. Now listen to the words. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." What does heaven and earth mean? I heard it. I thought I heard it. Everywhere. Heaven and earth is everywhere. Listen again. All power. He said all power, not some. Which means all the power everywhere. All power. Read the Bible microscopically. Is given unto me in heaven and earth. Heaven and earth is everywhere. Now listen again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everywhere in the universe was created by Christ, the Creator. Now, the question can arise, how did he do that? Will some intelligent person answer that question for me? How did he do that? Give me three words. By his? Now, God says to us, listen to me carefully. If I can create the universe by my word, why can't you trust this word? Why don't you trust this word? And then God gives us examples of the power of the word. And God said, Genesis 1:3, let there be light, and there was light. And you look around, there's the light. How did the light come? This. My word, says God. You go to verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water. And God made the firmament. How? By his word. You look at the grass and the vegetation. Genesis 1:11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. And it was so. How? By his word. You see, God is applying for the position of Savior in Genesis 1. And I've told you before, he presents to us his curriculum vitae. Are you following me? Ah, you're sleeping. I'm talking to myself. He presents his curriculum vitae. Is that what you call it? Or your resume? And God says, here is what I have done. That's what a resume says. Human resumes are full of lies, but not God's resume. Are you with me? God says, here's what I've done. He's applying for the position of Savior. And those of us who review his application, we say, how did you do that? And he says, how? Give me three words. By my word. Let me ask you this. If the word of God can create the universe, can that word provide food for your family? Come on, say yes more loudly. Then why are you afraid? Sin. Sin allows a person to doubt a word that created the universe. Sin has tremendous power. Sin leads an individual to doubt the word that created the universe. And so we live in fear. But our theme is freedom, say for me, from fear. What brought the fear? Give me the long version of sin. How is fear cast out? Give me the long version of love. Obedience. How many will say, Lord, give me the love that expressed in obedience? Can I see your right hand? Do you mean that with all your heart? Stand up with me. 17 minutes after 7. Every time a preacher says, stand with me, people expect an appeal. And that's fine. Eloi said, never preach without making an appeal. Because someone may be getting or having or enjoying the last opportunity to decide for God. But I want to turn the process around and ask you, based on what you have heard, what decision will you make? Yeah, raise a hand and I'll call you. Obey. God bless you. Somebody else. Raise your hand and tell me. Without my having to make an appeal, having heard the word and I've given you the word, what decision will you make? Somebody else. Yes. Trust this. Beginning when? Now. Because you can drop dead on your way to that door. That's why I always tell people, when you wake in the morning, don't commit your life to God when you get out of the bed. You may not make it out of the bed. Commit your life in the bed. the moment your eyes are open, say, God, I give my life to you. Someone else, having heard what you heard, what decision will you make? Someone else. Yes. Exercise faith in what? The word of God. Faith cometh by, and hearing by the, you cannot get around this. I hope you understand. You cannot get around this. Some people ask me, how do I get close to God? How do I conquer sin? How do I break up with that no good boyfriend or girlfriend? This. One more. What will you decide? Someone else. Having heard what you heard tonight, what will you decide? Come on, raise your hand. Tell me. Someone else. Don't be full of fear. Remember our sermon for tonight. What decision will you make tonight? Raise your hand and tell me. Yes. Say that again. Love for God. Yes. Jesus says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. We love Jesus first, or how can you say that differently based on the longer version of love? We obey Jesus first. We find that in Acts 5:29. We ought to obey God rather than man. That may mean your spouse. It may mean your parents. It may mean your fiancé. It may mean your professor. We ought to obey God rather than man. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that God, that as sin brought fear, obedience of love casts it out completely. Father in heaven, move upon every heart that listens to your word and convict us, dear God, to get rid of the sin that brings guilt and fear and dread and uncertainty and mistrust of your creative word. I ask in the name of Jesus, dear God, come close to us, Father. Dwell within us. Because where you dwell, fear cannot dwell. Bless my brothers and sisters, dear God, as they leave this place tonight, let them not engage in idle chatter, as if they've had enough of spiritual things, but let them take time, dear God, to meditate on what they've heard tonight. Grant us all a safe night's rest. Let angels escort each of us to our place of rest. Bring us back tomorrow, Father, to hear your word again. We pray in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.